We're going to be in chapter 10. I'm going to read these scriptures to you, and then I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts afterwards. You might think that this has nothing to do with Mother's Day at first, but it will eventually. Just hang with me for a moment. If you read in 1 Kings chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 14. Solomon had just finished visiting with Queen Sheba. Her visit was a visit that she was coming to check him out to see if all the rumors were true about how wise he was and about how his kingdom had done so well. She came and she was astonished to find out that it was more than she had heard. It was more than she'd even imagined. He gave her so many things that she had a hard time carrying them home. Solomon was so rich and so wealthy, and we're going to read this right here, that silver, the precious metal that we hold on to silver, was as nothing. It was as nothing in the kingdom. Silver was irrelevant. If you had a piece of silver, it was worthless. It was nothing. That's how wealthy Solomon was in gold. That's how wealthy Solomon was. And if we read these scriptures, I want to challenge you this morning to don't take anything for granted. I want you to think with me this morning, and I'll tell you when we get there. Verse 14, the Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 10, "Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold, beside that he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of spice merchants and of all those kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went into one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went into one shield. And the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the throne was round behind. And there were stays on either side, the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there upon one on the one side, and on the other upon the 6 steps. And there was not the like made in any kingdom. And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. For the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and for wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules, a rate year by year. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. And cedars made he to be as the sycamore trees that are in the vale for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt, and linen yarn. The king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and an horse for 150, and so for all the kings of the Hittites, and for the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means." Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this day. Lord, I thank you so much for the mothers. Lord, I don't think we give enough credit to what they do for us. I really think that we take them for granted. All the riches that they bestow upon us, I think we take for granted. Oh God, please, don't let us forget our mamas. Let us love them, not just today. Let it be every day. Because they certainly don't take a day off of loving us. Lord, please help us today. Speak through me. Oh God, I need you, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I have told this testimony over and over again. I don't think I need to rehash the whole thing, but suffice it to say that at 22 years old, 20, 21, 22 years old, right in there, I had a family unit
The Battle family was one of those families in the community that were going to stand. They were the ones. They were the family that was going to stay a family unit. My mom and dad were thick as thieves. They didn't ever go anywhere without each other. They were together, and as a child growing up, I had the luxury of having mom and dad together. I had the luxury of not coming from a broken home. I had the luxury of all these things. And I tell you, growing up, we grew up poor. It wasn't that we had a lot of money. In fact, we had to scrounge quite often. I don't think the children of today have the realization of what it was like to grow up scrounging. I don't think the kids of today realize what it's like to not only not have pop in the house, but we didn't have milk. We had water. I mean, we had cereal with water many times. And a lot of times, we had just the water and no cereal. And it was one of those things where we grew up very, very poor. But at the same time, we didn't know any better, Miss Annie. We didn't know any better. We didn't realize that we were poor. We just knew we had to go across the street and borrow milk. We didn't realize that we were poor folk. We didn't realize that we didn't have the things, because I'm going to be honest with you, Brother Rod, we had us. Somebody say amen to me.
Amen.
We had us. We had the family growing up. I had my mom and daddy. They were always right there. I never had to worry about them. In fact, it got to the point where you just expect them to be home. You expect it. Let me tell you this. If you've got mom and dad today, and I know I'm talking to a lot of older folks that haven't had mom around or dad around for a long time, but if you've got mom and dad around, boy, you better call them today and make sure you tell them that you love them.
Yes.
You better make sure that you remember. I want you to reflect. You say, well, my mom has been gone a long time. But I'll tell you what. Reflect on what your mama did for you today.
Right.
Remember how much your mama gave to you. The days that you couldn't take care of yourself, that she cared for you. The growing up as a child, I try to teach my kids this all the time. Listen, when you were in diapers, your mama was taking care of you. When you couldn't take care of yourself, your mama took care of you.
Yeah.
And I believe for a time at least, I took for granted the fact that I had that family unit. I watched other homes dissolving around me, and I saw a lot of my friends' moms and dads split up. But I knew that would never happen to me. But it did. Can't explain. Don't know how or why. I just remember that day coming home and having a small family. I remember my dad getting my mom a bouquet of flowers. They were on the table. The bouquet of flowers, little card on there said, I love you very much. And my mama called the meeting. My mama called that meeting to inform us that she was leaving. I had taken for granted all those years that my mama would be home. I had taken for granted all those years that my mama would be there with me. I was 18, 19, 20 years old. I can't remember the exact date of understanding this. Just because you're older than me, it made it make a difference. And let me tell you this right now. I have a lot of problems with folks that are snide or rude to divorced folks. The pain, I don't care if you split because you're mad at each other. I don't care if you sit there and tell me that you fell out of love. I don't care what the reasoning is. Divorce is always filled with pain.
Yes. Yes.
And divorce pain never goes away.
Yep.
I don't care how wonderful the next fella is or the next gal is, the pain never goes away. The kids feel that pain.
Yes.
And it never goes away from the kids. In my family, it was one day wonderful and great, and everything was going wonderful. Like Solomon's kingdom, everything was going tremendous. Everything was right in line. Everything was coming in. The family was rich with love and rich with care. Our family was rich with love and rich with care. I love my mom. I love my daddy. Still do to this day. And I was sitting there in that room thinking, there's no way this is happening. I said those words. I sat there, Brother Mike, and told my mama, that's not happening. You're not leaving. Literally, I said that to her. You're not leaving. I'm bigger than you.
Amen.
I literally had no idea that this was coming. I had taken for granted my family. I had taken for granted that they will always be there. I had taken for granted the blessing that God gave me with a mom and dad. Folks, I know that most of you are older. But don't ever take for granted your family.
Right.
Don't ever say, well, I'm divorced and remarried. Don't you take for granted your family.
Yeah.
I don't care if you're divorced, remarried, If you're with a person today that you love very much, don't ever take that.
Yes.
Don't ever take it for granted that you've got a love and care that I don't care how much that they adorned Solomon with. I don't care how much gold came in. I don't care how much silver came in. Peacocks, apes. Well, we got a lot of apes in our house, but I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care how much things that they gave Solomon. It's not worth. It doesn't even come close to the riches and love that comes into a house that is together serving God. It doesn't match. But I took it for granted. She left. Really did. I couldn't believe my little brother and I would not have a mom for the first time. He had a mom. But she left. I don't care what the reasons are, honestly. This many years passed, I just don't care what the reasons are. My mom got into a life, you know this story, but my mom got into a life where I could no longer be around her for 10 years. For 10 years, the mom that I took so much for granted was gone. For 10 years. You say, well, preacher, there's something wrong with you. There's something wrong. No. I had to do what God told me to do. Sometimes you got to do what God tells you to do, no matter who's involved. For 10 years, I prayed. For 10 years, a lot of you prayed with me. For 10 years, the family unit that I took so much for granted was missing. Some of you in this room have lived that life. Some of you in this room know what it's like to be part of that type of life. It's not very fun, but understand this. God is so good. God is so good. The riches that were bestowed upon me and my family, the riches that were bestowed throughout my years growing up as a child, all those riches that were bestowed that I took so much for granted, suddenly taken away from me, suddenly there was no market available, suddenly the things that the silver was worth nothing, the time there was so much love, it was nothing to have that love. It became, I love you, became nothing. It was idle words. Don't ever let them become idle words.
Yes.
Make sure that you tell each other that you love each other every day and mean it. Because you don't know when it's going to end. Don't take it for granted. You say, well, Brother Dave, my family will never end. I believe that. But God is so good. There were 10 years. But my mom came back. Now she didn't come back with my dad. But she came back into my life. And it was just a couple years ago, the very first time I was able to call my mom on Mother's Day and tell her how much I love her. Tell her how much I care about her. And I'll never take that for granted. I'll never take for granted the loved one that I have supposed to be my wife. I'll never take for granted the fact that you got away. I'll never take for granted, I'll never let my kids take for granted that they've got a family, a mom and dad, the love of the church. And it's easy for kids to do that today. It's easy for them to hold on to the riches that his family just hold on to. Mother's Day is always very special for me. I've been very fortunate, and I know I'm rambling on, but please don't, I get emotional this time. I've been very fortunate. I marry a wonderful wife. She takes care of me, and I'm difficult to take care of.
Wow.
I call it a lameness. When I married that wonderful young lady, I got a wonderful mother-in-law. She puts up all of us. And for those 10 years, I didn't have mom. I had mom.
Yeah.
For 10 years, Miss Rosie took the place the best she could. She did a great job there. And I will never take that for granted. I will never take for granted that I've got mamas waiting for me at home. Shoulders that you can cry on. You can let that be your mom. Ears that will listen, even when you're stupid. Have you ever had stupid moments? Do moms still listen to anyhow? I can't express to you enough the amount of riches that come from a mama. I think it's to listen to the list of things that were given to Solomon. You might say, but good night, how wonderful, how great, how tremendous, but none of those stack up to the love of your mother. None of those stack up to the things. And by the way, the very next paragraph, and I don't know if I'll ever get to it, the very next paragraph, we realize that Solomon took all that for granted and lost it all because he took for granted the things that God has blessed him with. We've got to understand something. If you're under the sound of my voice today and you've got a mama or had a mama or you are a mama, don't let it be taken for granted the great things that God has given you. My God brought me and my mama back together. I guarantee you he can take care of what's in your life, the problems that you may have. God can take care of you. You say, well, there's no answers. There are answers. Love each other. Care about each other. Ask God to protect you. Don't take for granted what God has given you.
Yes.
Don't take for granted the riches that his family. Don't take for granted that wife that you have. Don't take for granted that husband that you have. Don't take for granted the great children that you have. Oh, I know we all mess up. But let me tell you something. God has blessed us today.
Yes.
And on this day, I'm so very excited. I called her this morning to get her ticket. She didn't answer.
Wow.
Now you think that mom would answer. I'm going to have to tell her about that when I finally get older. But you know how good it feels. And Miss Annie's always taken real close to me in situations. She's always make sure that she talks to me about it. I'll never take for granted the ability to get my mom. You know, I know that a lot of you in here can't call your mom. But that doesn't mean you can't thank God for it today.
Yeah.
She's in heaven or she's passed on. Can't thank God because of your mom. I think today you ought not take for granted the things that mom has given you, the things that mom is. Beyond that, if you're a mom in here today, take great happiness in the fact that God trusted you enough to be a mom. Think about that. God trusted you enough to be a mom. And I know that some of us in this room, well, I'm not able to have children. I don't have children. Let me tell you something. I hate the teaching that you're not a mom. You say, well, what? I don't have any kids. I'm not a mom. Let me tell you, you're a mom to somebody. Oh, you may not be biologically a mom or somebody. But listen, my mother-in-law is not my mom. But she's my mom. Huh? Somebody looks up to you as a mom. Somebody looks up to you as that person that they can come to. Be willing to do that. Because God's entrusted you. Yes. See, women are very special in the scriptures.
Yeah.
Women are very special all throughout the scriptures. Women are people that they do things and have these abilities that men just do not have. I'm amazed only the mess that I get with that. We know that. We know we're a mess. But ladies, you have a compassion that men don't have. You have a caring that men don't have. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't ever want to take that for granted in my life. The ladies that are important to me in my life, I don't ever want to take that for granted. The riches that they bestow upon me, I'm not going to forget. We talked about my mother's name. What about everything? What about everything? The riches that the mothers bestow upon us, can we possibly count them? Can we count the years that mama took care of? I don't know if I could ever take into account what my mother's done for me. I don't ever, how many prayers have been offered up for you from your mom? How many prayers have you offered up for your mom? I just wanted to get you to think for just for 1 minute about how important you really are, ladies. I don't know that you can grab a hold of it. How important you are. Well, my children messed up. Children do that. That's not your fault. Be a good mom. Be a good mom. Let God handle your children. Be a good mom. Because I'm going to tell you, you'll never, ever understand how much men is the ones that are around you. And I challenge you that are here under the sound of my voice. Don't take for your mama has done for you. Don't take for granted, mamas, what you have done for your children and what you have done for those around you. That wonderful riches, that grace that you've given them, don't ever take that for granted. I want to continue on with the next few verses. I thank God I get to call my mama today.
Amen.
I thank God for that. I would never take it for granted. Because there was 10 years I couldn't call her. But now I can.
Chapter 11, verse 1. We just read all the riches. Verse 1, But King Solomon had a problem. King Solomon's problem was he loved many strange women. I know this is a horrible segue, but I was just my soapbox. I just wanted to talk about my mama.
Amen.
To be real honest with you, I hope that was okay.
Amen.
But Solomon had a problem. And you might say what his problem was, lust. No, his problem was pride. Solomon's problem was pride. And I want you to think with me for a moment. People came from all over the world to see Solomon.
People came from the world, and when they came in all from all over the world, they had gifts for him. And every time they came to him, they were staggered by his wisdom because God gave it to them. And you must understand, it's not surprising to me that a man became full of himself. It's not surprising to me that he would look down and everybody's always... I bet you it came to the point almost like they were worshiping him. And here's what you've got. You either continue to thank God for your wisdom or you start to believe it's yours.
Yeah.
And the reason that I'm bringing this up, and again, I know I'm off of Mother's Day now. But I want to caution you as Christians. Please don't get to a place where you think you arrived. Please don't get to a place where you think you're so mature as a Christian that you cannot have it stripped from you. I'm not talking about your Christianity. I'm not talking about your salvation. I'm talking about your testimony. I'm talking about your walk with God. I'm talking about you think you've got a family unit one day and the next day it's gone. I'm talking about you've got a testimony for Jesus Christ right now. And it can be taken from you if you start to lose focus on what's happening in your life. Now listen, Solomon, if I want you to turn quickly to Deuteronomy 17, 17. We've only got a few minutes left. If you turn back to Deuteronomy.
And I've showed you this before. God is foretelling what the king is going to do. We went over this a lot of times, but I want you to see it with your eyes again. It was prophesied by God through his word in Deuteronomy here. If you look at verse 17, lots of 17s. But I'm actually going to go back to 14. In the Bible it says, "When thou art come unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt possess it, and shalt dwell therein, and shalt say, I will set a king over me." Remember, they did that. Everything God said here comes to pass. "Like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him a king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shalt thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother, but he shall not." Now remember the laundry list of wonderful things that Solomon had and was given and all these things? God tells you what's coming in Deuteronomy. Long before Solomon ever takes the throne. Look at what happens. "He shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt." That's exactly what he did. He didn't take the people back there. He took horses out of Egypt. Go back to Egypt and get their horses. "To the end that he should multiply horses." That's what the Bible's saying. He's going to go back to Egypt and grab their horses. Don't go there. "For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, ye shall henceforth return no more that way." I think he's teaching a very important thing here, Christian. If you lived a life that was worldly before you got saved, I did, and I lived a worldly life even after I got saved, God's telling you, don't go back there, even if there's profit in it.
Amen.
No, you listen to me now. Don't you think for one minute that God's going to be real excited about saving your sorry carcass and then letting you go back into the world and grab profit on the way out? Yeah. You say, well, I don't understand that. Really? Okay, I'll tell you what. Let's say before you got saved, you was a bartender. Don't go be a bartender as a saved Christian.
Right.
I know that's a silly thing, but don't think for one minute that God is happy with going back into the world. That's what I know, brother. It's how I do things. Brother David, it's what I remember. It's like my comfort zone. God didn't ask you to be comforting. God asked you to be Christian. What Solomon did here is said, listen, I am so great and so wise that no matter what's going on around me, I am above it. Deuteronomy warned him, the word of God. It's apparent to me, Brother Carl, that Solomon was not very studied. Because had Solomon been studied in the Bible, he would have seen that that's the one God was talking about. Look at what it says. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. What was Solomon doing? Silver was accounted as stones where he was. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. Look at verse 17 one more time. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself. Why? 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 Oh, come on, he's king! You shouldn't multiply wives to your, first of all, a man can't handle more than one.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Good Lord, have mercy on our souls. We can't handle more than one. Solomon, believing he was the most wise, and he was, believing that he was the most gifted, and he was, he felt, and let me tell you, Christian, I'm warning you today, don't come to a place where you think you are above reproach. Don't come to a place where you've got it all figured out. Don't take for granted what God has done for you. Who gave Solomon his wisdom? Who gave Solomon his treasure? Who gave Solomon his breath? Cease ye from man. Whose breath is in his nostrils? That's God's breath. Everything you've got is from God. Solomon forgot those things, and he forgot to read, because listen, neither shall he multiply wives to himself that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold, and when he shall sit on the throne, listen, don't do those things, but do this. I like this, Christian. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law. What do you think this law is? It's the Bible. The king's job. He shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. It shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them. Solomon took it for granted that he was a great and mighty and wise king, and he was. But he got those things because he asked God for them. But he forgot who gave them to him. Look at what it says now. But King Solomon, this is chapter 11, 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. We just read where he wasn't supposed to do that. Together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Idonians, and Hittites, all those enemies of God. Every one of them enemies of God. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon claimed unto these in love. Let me tell you what's happening here. Solomon decides that one woman's not enough. He's the king. He's wise. Solomon decides that he is brave enough and wise enough and smart enough to do whatever he wants to do. Christian, don't ever get that mature in your faith to where you believe you can go to a dirty, rotten Christian rock concert and be all right. Don't you think that you can just go and stroll into another church and think it's going to be all right, even if that church has rock bands and everything else. Guard your heart that God has given you. Guard your faith that God has given you. Come to a realization that there are places that God wants you to be and places that God does not want you to be. And by the way, God takes it real serious. See, we've got this thought process in our minds that we can get above the world. God takes us above the world. But our body has no desire to be above the world. Your flesh desires to be dead smack in the middle of the world.
Yeah.
Don't think that you're so good that you're above it. Listen to your radio station. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Boy, this is Mother's Day, Mother's Day. Would you stop? I hate to listen. I talk about my mom for 20 minutes. Why would you think that you can do whatever you want to do in the world and it won't affect you?
Yes.
Come on now. I'm above it, brother Dave. No, you're not.
No.
The flesh is weak.
Yes.
The flesh is weak.
Yes.
Why do you think we preach against Facebook? People get mad at me all the time. But your flesh is weak. When that lady friend that you had back in high school replies to you, your flesh is weak.
Yeah.
You're sitting there saying, well, never, I never. You say you never, but eventually you will. I wish that I could try to convey to you the thought process today. I'm just trying to warn you that your Christianity is not that great that you can be above the wiles of the devil. Solomon is the wisest man in the world, and he falls flat on his face. A wisdom given him by God. And he falls flat on his face. The wisest man, the richest man, he's got everything going for him. He gets into these women, 700 wives, 300 concubines. Think about Mother's Day for him. Good thing that silver was as stones. Think about that for a minute. I'm just sidestepping here for a minute. He fell in love with these women and then decided that he would allow them to worship their gods in his kingdom. The Bible teaches us to be not unequally yoked together. I wish I could tell you all the stories of counseling sessions that I've had with people that are unequally yoked, even in what they believe about God. Do you know this? If you're unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, it will not turn out right.
That's true.
Oh, you may have your one story in a million that you can point to, that they are able to live peaceably with a Catholic and a Baptist in the same house. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's not going to be harmonious.
Right.
See, God's got a very specific plan for a Christian's life. And how can you serve together when you're not serving together?
Right.
Well, I know that sounds simple. But Solomon decided that he was wise enough. Solomon decided he didn't need the preacher's advice. Somebody decided he didn't need help from the outside. He didn't need to write out a copy of this law. If he'd have wrote it out, he would have realized he was the guy that they were talking about.
Yeah.
If he would have wrote it out, he would have realized, man, I better be careful. We've got to understand, we take for granted every day our life that we have. Rodney, Debbie, don't you ever take for granted the life that you have.
No.
Do you know how great it is that your wife serves with you?
No.
Do you know how great it is that your husband is a preacher of the Word of God and you believe what he's telling the people is true? Think about that for a minute. If you didn't believe what he was preaching was true, what kind of a marriage would that be? That'd be a whole lot of fun. Because you have the same belief system, that's being equally yoked together. They can pull the same plow.
Yeah.
He looks more like the oxen. But they can pull the same plow. They can pull together in the service of Christ. Solomon decided, I'm smart enough, I can have any gods in here I want.
Yes.
The abominations of the Moabites, the abominations of the Ammonites. He had Ashtaroth, he had Behemoth, he had all of them in there that were wrong and horrible. And he was not above it. Eventually, he succumbed to it. Eventually, the wisdom that God gave him was not enough. He didn't do what he was supposed to. He took it for granted. And I want to tell you something today. Christian, I'm all done. And this is probably the weirdest Mother's Day message ever. But understand this.
I don't want to take what I have for granted. That everything that I have was given to me by God. Everything. This air that I breathe, he's just lending to me. I owe it all to him. My mama coming back to me. the relationship I have with my mother-in-law, the relationship I have with my wife and what she does for me, the fact that we're pulling the same direction. I owe all that to God. And I don't want to ever take that for granted on this Mother's Day. Don't take for granted what God's given you. Because God is so, so good. Let's pray.